A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, an epic battle between light and dark was fought.
We're your hosts, Shalom and Courtney, and we're calling all
Jedi junkies.
From Tatooine to Jakku, to buckle up for this hyperdrive adventure through the galaxy.
You're listening to Jedi Junkies on Almost Nerdy.
We are going to spoil these movies, so make sure you've already watched them.
Right. Thank you so much for joining us for this heated episode. Heated as in like the movie itself is like intense. It's like a high speed chase through the galaxy. It's crazy.
It is. We are discussing The Last Jedi.
Yes.
This movie, I really enjoy this movie. I just want to throw this out there before we even start anything. Mm-hmm. For anyone out there who wants us to debate the, like, who is the last Jedi, like, it's clearly Luke. Like, it's so clearly Luke that in the first movie they reference Luke as the last Jedi. Mm. Like, I don't even know why that was a debate when this movie was coming out. People were like, who is he? Mysterious. Is Rey the last Jedi? I'm like, no, it's Luke. It was so much to the point that Mark Hamill tweeted and was like, I'm the last Jedi.
I am the last.
It's me.
You know, here's the thing, though, and we've had this conversation this week. What is a Jedi? I think people, to be honest with you, like, there is that, what is the dictionary definition of a Jedi? And then there's also, what is just the essence of a Jedi? Like I think that a Jedi, in people's minds, and you can't blame a whole group of people for thinking this way, in that saying, no, being a Jedi is not just being in the Jedi Order, is having, possessing and embracing the abilities of, you know, of the Force or whatever, and using them for good.
I disagree so strongly.
I know. But
we're not even gonna go there.
But here's the thing. I think we could argue about this all day, and we did one time.
And we have.
And but I think that you have to, when fans respond to something a certain way, if they don't understand something or they respond to something, it's all about, like, they're receiving information. There's a reason why they think that way. There are so many reasons why I would think, you know what, like, to me, a Jedi is not just someone who sits in that circle, you know, in the Jedi Order and is part of that system. For me, it's beyond that. It's a being, you know, and there are many examples that I look at. I'm like, you know what, this is why I think this way.
For me, it seems very clear that it's like, you can't just be a Jedi because you have, like, Force powers, because there's different ways to train within the Force. Like, the Knights of Ren and the Sith are clearly different.
Mm.
Like, there could be many ways to train on the light side of the Force, or a more balance of the Force that we don't really know about yet. Mm. We have only really been exposed to the Jedi.
Mm. Okay, so here's my question. Why isn't there anything else? Why is there just one group and there's nothing else?
Because they haven't made anything yet, Shalom.
Yeah, but do you see what I'm saying? That's like, I think the way he's created it, the dark side, for example, they're so formal. There's a formality to how they do things and everything, right? And this has led them to be like, you know what? We identify as the Knights of Ren. We identify as this. We identify as that. I think Jedi, like, or the concept of Jedi for me is more fluid than an organization. It's less of the order. I think it's what it represents for me is, wow, you have the Force in you and you know how to use it. And, you know, you might not even be part of the order because the order is gone. You know what I mean? Like, the order, there's no order anymore. Right? There's no,
like, I just don't know that you can claim that, though. And like, be true. I don't know that that's just that, true. That, like, I just don't know that it's true. Like,
yeah, that's what I'm feel saying. Like it's a I'm feeling. Saying that's what I'm saying. I'm saying which to be honest with you, if there is any confusion, it all comes back to like interpretation. So it's like, hey, like the artist, they can say what they want, but it's like, hey, look, when we watched the movies or when we watched it, this is what came across. So I don't think either is wrong, especially with what's coming up. I think that, you know, we talked about, does the Jedi end? Does it not? I don't think it's going to end. I think there's going to be a new form of Jedi. But yeah, but that's a whole conversation. You know what I mean? Like, there's a reason why people think that way. It's not clear cut.
Okay. I don't think we're going to agree on this, which is fine. Why not? So we're going to move on.
And that's what it is. It's opinion.
So it's Sloan's week to do 2-sentence summary.
Mm-hmm.
And then we will rate this movie. We are pumped.
Yes. So this is what happens in this movie. So the Rebel Alliance is being chased by the First Order / New Empire, who have figured out how to track through light speed.
Uh-huh.
Rey runs off to convince Luke to come and help the rebels, who then comes to stall whilst Rey carries the small remnants of the surviving rebels off into space to fight for another day. Fight another day. I don't even know what the English is, but you know what I'm trying to say.
So fight another day.
Yeah. That is what happens in this movie. It's pretty simple. I mean, there are other subplots with Finn and everything, but the basics are there.
That was a pretty good summary.
Thank you.
Still not convinced. There's 2 sentences. Shalom likes to put a lot of commas in there. Like commas, parentheses.
It's all about this. I like to tell stories. I'm not, you know. And I said it's the way I see it, I'm like, oh, I can see myself writing this in 2 sentences.
I can see this in 2 sentences.
It fits in there. It fits.
How would you rate this movie?
This is definitely one of the harder movies to watch.
Mm.
I would give it a 7 probably. There's so much depth. To be honest, I love the whole Jedi or Force, the Force story, the Jedi / Force story.
Mm.
How you see them dive deep into that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. So I'll give it a 7. It's something that once in a while I want to watch it and kind of, mm-hmm, speculate like I'm doing today, like just be like, oh, this is what I think, mm-hmm, you know. And so because I think it presents a lot of that room and like for us to process and dive into the story. So
I think I give it a 9. I feel like middle stories are really difficult.
Yeah.
Just because I think you kind of get that lull in the story a little bit. You're not getting the excitement of the beginning. You're not getting the satisfaction of the end.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel that with this movie.
Yeah.
Overall, I really like this movie. It's probably the most beautiful one.
Yeah.
The cinematography of it is amazing. Some of those shots are like...
Yeah, they're so good.
Incredible.
So good. Like, definitely the best that I've seen on a Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
It feels like their technology finally caught up, mm-hmm, with the vision.
Yeah.
And it makes me even more excited for the one that we're seeing tonight, Rise of Skywalker. And it's like, oh, cool. Like, we get to actually see.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be graphically pleasing. Hopefully the story is pleasing. And, you know, some of the reviews are in. Super confusing. Don't go on Twitter if you... If you haven't seen it yet. I mean, if you enjoy just seeing people debate like me, like, go on Twitter, check it out, you know.
Shalom loves watching the Twitter debates.
Yeah.
It's like his favorite activity.
It's interesting.
I don't want to get myself, I feel like I was like too hyped, I think, for like Captain Marvel, like back in, what was that, like February or March when Captain Marvel came out. And I feel like I learned my lesson and I'm like, I'm not allowing myself to get in the way of the story that's actually happening. Because I think sometimes if you get too excited about it, or you're like trying to pick apart trailers, stuff like that, like I feel like you almost ruin the story for yourself. You know?
Yeah. And it's all about, to be honest with you, it's all about, you know, it's cool to speculate, but at your own risk, you know? Be ready. I like to I usually can pick up what's happening in the show. Like, I can kind of, like, get, you know, even before stuff happens. But sometimes it doesn't happen that way. And sometimes I like it. Sometimes I don't. You know? Sometimes I think that my idea was better than the movie. But I'm ready. I'm ready, like, you know. It's one of those, like, yeah, are you willing to always go through that? You know, I am. Like, I enjoy it. Mm-hmm. But there are people who can't handle that. And sometimes they get so upset that it really gets bad. You're not objective anymore. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we are about to jump into the movie, but first we're going to take a quick break.
Quick break.
Each week when we put out an episode of Almost Nerdy, I am most excited about sharing themes. I love diving into the story and the characters, pulling out these lessons that are so relevant to real life today. When we did an episode on Avatar, we were blown away by just how the story of the humans invading Pandora, taking advantage of the natives and the resources, is such a parallel to colonization. After each recording, we are even more excited to share these lessons with you guys. It's amazing some of the feedback that we've gotten about how people see the movies differently. It's amazing when someone says, hey, maybe you missed this. And we love that because we get to grow together with you. If you enjoy our podcast and are wondering how you can support us, the best way is by giving small monthly donations so that we can dedicate more time and grow this community. If you would like to do this, you can find the link in the podcast info. Thanks, guys.
And welcome back.
Welcome.
So I think because the story starts with Poe, I think I kind of want to start with that whole plot of like Poe and then like the, you know, the light speed chapter, like all that. I think I want to start there. So in the very beginning scene, we get like probably one of my favorite scenes of all time. It's like Poe out there talking to General Hux, but he's like, General Hux, I'll wait. Like, first of all, calling him General Hugs is probably my favorite thing that's ever happened.
Yeah,
but funny. I think, like, looking back, I kind of wonder, like, and I think they dive into this as well, is like, is Poe, in being kind of like this daredevil, like, is he really being foolish? Like, is he thinking like a commander? Like, what do you think of Poe's journey throughout the movie?
I think it's a mixture of everything. Like, when you know that this is like, this could be the final moment, and it does look like that, where you could either listen to your commanders and everything works out, or you could, or they could not work out. And so it's like, you've got that dilemma where you're like, what should I do? Should I rebel and then maybe become a hero? Because he feels like the first operation where all the bombers got destroyed, he feels like it was a success.
Yeah.
You know, in his mind, usually someone, a hero would be like, oh, something poor died.
Yeah.
I just feel so bad. That's when the poor died. But to him, he's like, they're heroes. They died for a reason. So he definitely has a different value system that in most movies that you watch, it's like there's the commander or the police chief who's like, follow the rules, and there's like the, you know, the this just the excited, crazy, unruly police officer who breaks all the rules, but then always comes out on top. And it's like, yeah, he was always right about this, but in this situation, Poe gets zapped, you know, knocked out by Leia, and then turns out, like, you know, the leaders were right, like they were on the right track with what they were doing. So
I think it's a very fresh take on kind of the, as Admiral Holdo would put it, the trigger happy flyboy. It's like what you say, how many movies have we seen where it's like that character is really upheld as a hero,
right?
And it's like, there's all the cannon fodder characters, right? And I think it was really clever of them to make the one, as we would put it, like cannon fodder characters, her sister. So like you get that emotional connection, like my sister just gave up her life for this, but it's like technically she really didn't have to give up her life.
She didn't.
And yes, they took down a Dragnaut, but it's like at what cost? And I think that was something really interesting and deep that this movie brought to the Star Wars universe is like the cost of war. And I really appreciate that because I mean we saw that with Rogue One as well, I think, is like they're kind of diving into this, like, there's been this war going on through the galaxy for how long, but we've never really evaluated, like, the cost of that. You know, we see them blow up planets, but, like, we haven't really seen the cost of that.
Right.
And I feel like we're just now getting to that place.
Right.
And I even thought it was interesting going a little bit farther along the, like, Poe storyline when you add in the whole, like, Rose and Finn, like, were you expecting them to fail? Like, if you're honest with yourself, like,
I wasn't. They always get through, right? I think they get kind of caught into the same thing, you know, into the same, the whole trigger happy kind of universe.
Yeah.
Into Poe's universe. And I think that it was a growth process, plus also, to be honest with you, which I think is a fail on whoever wrote this, George Lucas and team. The whole love triangle thing is nonsense. Absolute nonsense. Shalom hates I'm like, why?
So it's you mean so between cheap. You mean between Finn, Rey, and Rose?
Yes. Okay. I think it's cheap. It's like it's so cheap. You don't have much time. The next movie, you don't have, like, unless if you're gonna, you know, end game it. Yeah, we'll make it as long as eternity, right? You don't have time for that. You don't have time for these things that need steady, you know, character development.
And usually time has passed between the movies.
Right.
Also, like, we usually have, like, chunks of time.
Right.
It's not like they run back to back. Like, there's usually...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it's like what, why? Well, why are you setting it up that way? Unless if they want the option of Rey and Kylo, which is another nonsense thing, you know. So it's like, for me, you know, and I'm sorry, like, there are people who support this, but I'm like, no, it doesn't work. It's not going to work. It's not.
No.
My prediction is they go safe and Kylo dies. But I think that because there isn't enough time to do something that's deep, and where there's a redemption arc and everything. One movie is not enough for that. So I think they got a little careless with that. They could have done without it. They could have done without
that. I don't know, though, that Finn is into Rose. Like, if we're to be honest, and it's like, also, do you think it's that out of character for Rose to truly care for Finn? I don't think it's that out of character. Like, they end up on this epic adventure together. But at the end of the day, like...
Yeah.
Finn is, like, surprised when she kisses him, you know? Like, he doesn't seem into it.
But you see, all of that could have been, they could have just not done it.
So
they could,
like,
have just left
They it. Could just not kiss. What if they just didn't kiss?
You know, to be, in all honesty, like, I think sometimes writers sometimes drop these things that I think that was cheap. I think that was a cheap moment that they could have capitalized on just, I mean, Luke is BA. I'm like, why? Give us more of that, you know, rather than, you know, weird moments like, you know, kisses and then you know, he's across on the little ship and he's with Finn and then Rey looks up and is Rey jealous? Is Rey not jealous? What's going on? It's like, oh my gosh, we don't have time for that. We have one movie left.
So I was like, I don't care about the galactic gossip column. Like, get that out of my face.
Give me the hot stuff. Give me more swords. Let's do this.
Okay. You're wild. So what about when they're on, like, the super rich planet and, like, Rose, like, were you expecting it to be, like, that, like, hoity-toity bougie, or were you expecting it to be another, like, kind of hovel, because of the way that Rose, like, describes it?
Yeah, like, that was a surprising kind of part of what was happening. I didn't expect, I still, yeah, there could be value in that, in exposing that world and be like, oh, mm-hmm. wow, the reality is there is this industry that mm-hmm. sells the weapons and everything.
Stark Enterprises.
But there is the perfect place to do that is Mandalorian, right? Do mm-hmm. that on in Mandalorian. Expose that world. Show the depths and the how things are working and yeah, society.
Yeah, but the Mandalorian doesn't
you know?
Take place in that time frame.
But, I mean, but it happened. No, it happens before, right? It happens before... The
well, it's
the,
right after the right. last of the original trilogy.
It's right after, but you can still show the workings. You know, you can still show the oh, development. Like so that rich. Could be that could be a way, and also Mandalorian could be seasons. Who knows? You know, mm-hmm. it could be a long time, and so that could be
or
a
maybe
great
not
place
necessarily the
that.
Mandalorian. You're just saying in the TV series.
Yeah,
you'd like rather a, see that in a TV
yeah,
series
than in a movie like that where you're left with two movies and it's like. Okay, rather than do that, dive into the characters more. Talk to us about Luke. What happened? Like, I, even though they talked about it, but I think there are lots of questions that they left that they could have actually mm-hmm. answered rather than taking us on this other trail that just feels weird. So it makes me afraid for the next movie in that are they going to congest it? Are they going to just stuff everything in there? And we just come out and just vomit it out, you know, afterwards and...
I feel like you just hated everything about the Rose Finn journey. Like you could have been okay without it.
That's really where I'm
at. You
felt
like it was a side story and like it was unnecessary.
Absolutely unnecessary. Absolutely unnecessary. There's so much they could have done. But hence my 7. But the movie, I mean, it's beautiful, and I think the Luke situation, like Luke and Rey. Oh, I love that. I'm like, yes. Mm. Tell me, what are those voices in the ground? What is that? What was that whole mirror thing? Like, I'm like, what was it? Like, tell me
don't
more about that.
Don't jump ahead in the conversation, Shalom. We're going to get there.
Okay.
He's jumping ahead.
I'm sorry, people.
Shalom just wants to go to his favorite parts. I have to say, like, you know, we've seen Cantina after Cantina, Cantina. It was really interesting to me to see like a higher society and that they're prospering over something that's bringing devastation to all these other planets that we're looking at.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I found that really interesting. And I actually thought it was a really nice touch and depth to the galaxy that we have not seen pretty much since the prequels. Like, we haven't really seen like a beautiful flourishing planet since the prequels. So I did find that very interesting. And then on top of that, like, I do love the little touches in there. Like, you know, I told them they can, like, park their ship there. And it's like, you know, they get arrested for parking their ship on a beach. Whereas it's like, they've done so much worse in the rest of the galaxy. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They literally stole the Millennium Falcon back.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
And like.
Yeah.
And then they get arrested for this.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, that planet reminds me of Kamino, like where they made the clones.
Yeah.
Where because this was it, they look prosperous. They look like they had a nice base and they're secret. They're like somewhere else, off in a you know secret, you know, system and everything. Yeah. And so it kind of reminds me of that where we kind of know someone is making money, someone is benefiting from this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was, you're right, like, it definitely has a refreshing feel. I did feel like it pulled us so much away from just the meat. There was so much meat, so much to chew through that we didn't get enough to actually process that movie.
It's kind of like the Star Wars formula, though. If you were to compare this, like, to the second movie in the original trilogy, that's basically what happens. Like... Han and Leia are kind of just, like, running around doing whatever while Luke is really training. And we get, like, a lot of depth from Luke. But it's, like, there's, you know, Han's off getting frozen.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of the... I feel like they try to balance the serious story with kind of, like, something a little bit lighter.
Yeah. 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 It's interesting. It's, like... There's something different. This felt very off. Like, I mean, Han Solo with Leia. It just felt like more part of the story. Luke actually seemed off a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, he seemed like he's training, he's doing his thing. So you could almost, like, be like, yeah, Luke is just training. But Rey and Luke is where it's like there's so many questions. It's like, okay, mm-hmm. what is this? What is going on? What's happening? Mm-hmm. What's, you know, obviously with Luke and Yoda, it's like, oh, my father, who's my father? You know, it's like, which is
well, I'd rather die than tell you.
I'd rather die than tell you. but if it, like, it wasn't as, you know, like, as, oh my gosh, like, what's really happening here? But with this one, it was like, flip, like, okay, so what are those voices? Like, for me, I want to know what those voices were. Like, there isn't that clarity. I want to know who Rey is. You know, you like, I mean, you say she's a basic person and you like that.
I love it.
I don't believe it. I think Kylo lied. But I want to know. Like, I'm like, let's finish this. Tell me once and for all.
But, I think you're trying to... Shalom's already trying to get into Rise of Skywalker and we haven't even seen the movie yet. Shalom's like, yeah, this is it.
Which I'm like, maybe they could have answered those questions in the second movie so that the next movie is more action. It's more confrontation. It's more explosion. It creates more breathing space. I won't judge the next movie yet. I won't say anything, but we'll see tonight if it's congested. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling it will be. Whether it's going to be good congested or bad congested, we'll see.
I was very excited about Luke Skywalker, but I have one more thought. I have one more thought on the rest of the Resistance before we move on to Luke. Shalom loves Luke. So,
Luke.
And obsessed with Rey's parentage.
I want to know.
He wants to know. So, I think just one other thing that I really pulled from this movie that I thought was a really nice turnaround in Poe's character and just in general is I think Admiral Holdo, who first of all, she's just in as an actual person in real life, is just an amazing feminist and she's just a wonderful person. Yeah. So I'm really happy that she had this role, this specific role, because I think it fits her as a person really well. But I liked the tension between her and Poe, and then the turnaround in the end of, like, she does sacrifice herself at the end, but it's a purposeful sacrifice.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It was a purposeful sacrifice to allow the rest of the Rebel Alliance to leave.
Yeah.
Whereas I think in the beginning, I do believe that Poe was pretty reckless. Like, they could have saved a lot of lives if they just ran away. You know what I mean? And it's like, when I think about it more, it's like, you know, they are tethered, they're tethered on the end of a string through light speed. But it's like, they could have had so many more people in that, like, little group of ships that was running away.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the forces could have been much larger by the time that they hit.
Yes.
I forget the name of that ice planet thing, that their salt planet that they're on. Yeah. Like, by the time that they hit there.
Yeah, there could have, like, been more people.
There could have been so many more people.
Whew. So, but then they took down, you know, a dreadnought, like, which is huge.
I agree with Leia. Not worth
it. Yeah, it's hard. Like, with war, it's just hard. It's hard to know, like, what's worth it. It's like, okay, like, we took out down this massive weapon that was, like, that could have just destroyed us, like, that easily destroyed us. Like, that, would they have survived? Would they have made it? Like, if they had, even with a little bow, so they could have just been caught as well. So, it's hard. It's hard. But at the same time,
but they also lost all their bombers.
They also lost all their bombers. But what, like, it was it worth it? I really think it was worth it because of what they accomplished. But I think that it's just an example of two sides that are going, like, okay, let's run away, and another side are saying, let's shut this down, let's stop this from happening, let's send a group of people to infiltrate and you know, and destroy the tracker. So it's hard to be like, okay, that person is absolutely right, that person is absolutely wrong. I think both sides have valid points. It's just one of those tragic situations that you just never want to be in.
Yeah. Okay, Shalom, are you ready? We can move on to Luke.
Luke.
Were you ready for Luke to throw the lightsaber over his shoulder?
I was.
You were expecting that?
I was, yes. Yes, I was absolutely expecting it. They set it up. There's this weird thing that these movies do, like where it's like the like it was like I was like, ha, he's gonna throw it over his shoulder, and the way he looked at it and he just went like that, I was like, ha, I saw it coming.
I don't think they I think they were expecting some laughs there. I don't think they got the laughs. I think people were like, are you kidding me? I waited 2 years for him to throw a lightsaber over his shoulder. Like, are you kidding me?
Oh, I laughed. I laughed pretty hard. Because I think it was kind of like, it was very, to be honest with you, this Luke is, I like this Luke better. You know, the Barry Converters, you know, that one, I just was so annoying. This Luke is just, is more, feels more gruff, more, I love the beard, I love, like, just his whole vibe. At the same time, like, I mean, if you started a school and one of you, you tried to murder one of your pupils and then decided not to, but then he caught you, like, over here, like, behind him with like your lightsaber, like, you know, oops. and then the whole school got destroyed and a bunch of people got murdered, like a bunch of kids got murdered. What would you do? Like, would you just be like, you know, I'm gonna push through? I think we've heard people go like, Luke would never respond like that. I'm like, you're lying. You're absolutely 100% lying. There's no way.
Have you watched the original trilogy? Like,
handle that well. Yeah.
Have you watched it?
I am your father. Throws himself
down like a tomb. Like, whoa. Okay. I think what I think, you know, when it originally happened, I was like, are you freaking kidding me? Like, we waited this long. Like, I was in that group. But it's like, the more I think about it, I'm like, girl, like, he did something, and he's been in seclusion. Like, what did you think? He was just going to take the lightsaber and be like, I will join you again. It's like, no, he's clearly embarrassed. He's clearly ashamed. He's been living in seclusion. He's been drinking weird green milk and, like, stabbing giant fish for, like, who knows how long. He won't tell his sister where he's living.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, won't tell his best friends where he was.
Yeah.
He clearly wanted to be alone. There was no way he was just going to take up the sword again and fight.
Yeah.
There's just, logically, when you think about it, that's ridiculous. And that would be a crazy story point if they were like, he's, and then he takes the sword and he's like, I will train you. Like, no, he's clearly ashamed. Yeah.
Very ashamed. You know, how are you going to face the parents and be like, yo, like, you gave me a son and I let you down? I mean, he said this to Leia. He's like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So,
So what did you think about, like, him starting to train Rey and, like, his points of, like, why he thinks the Jedi should die?
Wow. From a certain perspective, it's valid. You know, from a certain perspective. Okay, first of all, you have Count Dooku, who's, like, running off. It's crazy. But then also Senator Palpatine is, like, behind this whole scheme. Then he becomes the Emperor, rules for, like, a bunch of like a long time, right? And then he gets defeated eventually after three movies, and then now they're back again with the much bigger Death Star.
Yeah.
And they just keep, you know, coming back, and I think that I'm going like, flip, Luke must be tired. Not I mean, he wasn't there right at the beginning, but he must be tired of that story of, oh my gosh, this force constantly leads to people going dark. You know what I mean? Because there's a thin line, like we've said before, there's this thin line between the good and the bad. And the Jedi Order, in a sense, they were in denial of it, or they were either in denial of how thin that line is, or they were hyper aware of it to the point they were like, don't love, don't care, don't do this, don't do this. And, you know, and they're like, we don't want to be, we don't want to have any feelings at all, you know?
Yeah.
And so Luke must be tired and just being like, you know what? We don't deserve the Force. We just deserve to have nothing. No Force for anybody. Everyone loses the Force. We're all normal. We're just like,
we're all normal. We're all normal.
And that, and I think that's that, that's where he's coming from, which, to be honest with you, it's like, it's like almost like denuclearization. If you look at it from a certain perspective, you're like, might as well we remove that out of the equation completely.
I think what I get from Luke is just seeing a lot of the flaws in the Jedi. And it's like, you know, a Jedi became, you know, Count Dooku. A Jedi became Darth Vader.
Yes.
And then in him training, him starting to train, then Solo, he becomes, you know, Kylo Ren. So it's like, it's like he's constantly seeing this, like, in us feeling that we have, like, ownership over the Force. It's constantly leading to, like, an unhealthy ownership, like, a want of power, like, all that.
Yeah.
And he's almost like,
yeah,
no one gets it now.
Mm.
Yeah, no one gets this.
Yeah, nobody gets the Force.
Nobody gets the Force. We don't own it.
Right.
Right. He is bitter. He's mad bitter, though. Like, the part when he messes with Rey and he's got, like, he's like, reach out, she puts her hand out, and he's got, like, the piece of, like, grass or something. He's, like, tickling, and she's like, I feel it.
do you feel it? Yeah. That was funny.
He's so rude. What did you think about, like, the whole part about when he goes, you went straight to the dark side? Like, you didn't even try to stop yourself. Like, what did you think about that?
Wow. We've talked about this before, where the if people were there for Anakin when he was processing fear, they could have actually helped him to be like, it's okay that you're afraid. Let's help you deal with those fears. Let's help you. They could have, I mean, way before that, they could have saved his mom. I always come back to that. I'm like, come on, guys. Come on. Somebody must have thought of this. Because it's human. It's human feeling and thought. And I think that Luke goes through the same thing. He wants to rescue his dad. Mm. And he does rescue his dad.
Yeah.
In the end. But I think that at the same time, he's seeing Kylo go off, like, just go crazy.
Yeah.
And murder, like, his students. Mm-hmm. And take some of them with him to join him. And yeah, like it's there's that, he's got that, but he knows what the process is. It's a normal, it's not just like someone goes like to the dark side, but it's normal thoughts that lead, like which is normal life temptation. It's like you don't start off by just being like, I want to be a robber. You start off by being like, hey, I'm hungry. I need to eat. I need to do this. Like, wow, like there's food over there. I don't have money. But I need to eat. Like, I need to grab that. And it's almost like that same natural process. I think that's what he's seeing Rey go like, ooh, what's this? Like, I need to check it out. It's a normal human reaction. And I think he is overly freaking out about it. Mm-hmm. Rather than going like, let me help you with this. He's going like, oh, you went directly to the... You know, if Rey wasn't like as kind of like, I don't know what's going on. I don't really care.
Yeah.
If she wasn't like that, she probably would have been like, that means I'm a dark person, I'm evil. Mm. But I don't think Rey struggles with that. She does go like, she does get tempted, but I think she processes it in the moment as it happens. And like with the quarter portions, you know, she's someone who's in the moment, who's going like, oh, what is this? I need to figure it out. Mm-hmm. Responds to it in the moment rather than like, I love how she says about Kylo, his decision was not made. He did not, he did not, you know, he had not completely made up his mind. Because I think that's how she thinks. She goes like, listen, like, allow me to process, allow me to feel and to see that temptation and process it, but allow me to make the decision and wait for me to actually make the decision rather than concluding that I've made the decision and stand over behind me with a lightsaber. Yeah.
I feel like you kind of touched on, like, the Kylo and Rey connection and or initially being like, whoa, like, what the heck? Whoa. I don't know. Do you remember the memes that were out there for a while, like, buff Kylo? Those weird memes. It's like, what's up? What's happening right now? But I think what's so interesting about that is that we really got to learn a lot about Kylo and a lot of just like the misconceptions that were out there. And I agree, like, I feel like I agree with Ray. Like, he really has not made up his mind. There is a lot of conflict in him.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like he kind of got put in that situation because of Luke's fear.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's crazy because Luke is sitting out there just like pawning this story like, oh, and then like Kylo went crazy. And it's like, did he? You went like, and you tried to cut his head off. You know? Like, you went crazy because I was holding the lightsaber over his head. You know?
Oh my God. All these masters, they lie so hard.
They're wild.
From a certain perspective.
Yeah.
Kylo went crazy.
Yeah. Obi-Wan. Darth Vader killed your father.
What?
and then when he goes, he's like, I can't be with you if you're gonna like go face him.
I won't be there. I will not be there.
And like, yeah, because you're a liar. Yeah, these masters. And you know what though? I feel like that is why I want the Jedi to end. Like, I know that we don't agree with what a Jedi is, but I think the Jedi Order, what truly makes someone a Jedi is this almost, like, pursuit of perfection a little bit. Like, the way that they pursue to use the Force is almost, like, in quotes, perfect, I think. Like, they want to have this perfect use of it and, like, never make any terrible decisions, never, like, do anything like that. And I think that when you find your place, when you find yourself in a place of weakness, like... when Luke was scared, he got scared and then he went to go fix it. Like, he feels like he can't come back from that.
Yeah.
Like, he actually feels like he can't come back from it. I actually wonder, though, with Yoda, like, I feel like Yoda might not be, like, a true Jedi in a sense because I feel like he seems super balanced. Like, I feel like his use of the Force is, like, very balanced. Not that he's using, like... evil or any like the dark side or anything like that, but just like I feel like he makes very balanced decisions.
You see, that's why the whole Jedi thing is confusing, you know what I mean? Like, it's so hard to process because it's like, okay, they're Jedi masters and they're, you know, it's like you're a student and then you know this whole kind of like growth process, and you look at Yoda and you're like, okay, did you go through that? Like, you know, who was your master? And then you look at Baby Yoda, who's like raising a whole like ginormous
mud monster.
And so I think, and also you have, you know, I hate to reference it, but that part of the movie is, I don't think it should be there. It should be in a different context. The kid who just walks by his broom and just pulls it.
I love that.
You know? And I love every part of that. So there's that concept of I mean, they might change the name. That's fine. I don't think they should. But there's that idea of, wow, it's in us. It's everywhere. It's and then there are some who embrace it. You look at Rogue One, where the guy is like the Asian dude who... he's blind, but he can do phenomenal things, and he's going like, I'm one with the Force, and you know, he's living it out. And I think that there is this element of, with Luke, he's saying Luke is saying this is for no one. The Jedi Order said this is for certain people. I think what's coming out is saying this is for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone can have this power in you. It's like breathing. It's like part of you. You can be this.
Yeah.
And you can use it for good. And I think it empowers people to be less afraid of people like Snoke and the Emperor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that. I do think that they are trying to get into this place, and like, I hate to tie it all in, but I mean, you know, Galaxy's Edge is now available, where like you're welcomed into like the story of Star Wars in Disneyland and Disney World. So it's like, I wouldn't be surprised if they're doing more things where it's like you could have the Force too. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, just from like an overarching marketing standpoint, I could see that happening. So I could see them pushing the story in that direction as well. Plus, I am excited to get out of the Skywalker clan, because it's like, I feel like we've just been watching this like monarchy almost just like destroy everything all the time. And like, I'm just tired of that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just ready for that to be over. So back to like the Kylo Rey connection. You know, we're kind of talking about that. What I think I really liked about that is I think also you just get to see like perspective and like how much your perspective can change and be influenced based on like who you're talking to.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Like I feel like that's kind of an interesting concept to think about sometimes. It's like sometimes I think we often like get so like caught up in like a group, like one group of friends or like one group of like influencers or something like that.
Yeah.
And, like, you almost forget that there's other opinions in the world and like it makes you think like, oh, everybody's like this. And like I can only imagine for like Kylo, it's like if you're under this master and then on top of that, like you're on like, you know, the First Order ship, like everyone has that way of thinking, and then like you account, like you encounter someone like Rey, like that must be very like jarring.
Yeah,
you know, and then to have like, kind of like they almost have like this weird like, I would almost call it intimate connection. Like it's very personal. Like only they can see each other, and it's like very. I think that's very, very different.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not really them.
Yeah, it's not them.
You know, it's
well. No,
it's,
I'm saying like it's a connection, but it is a connection between the two of them.
Yeah, sometimes when you're two people who have a certain struggle and you meet another person who's a similar struggle, that connection is pretty obvious. I think that's what Snoke is looking at. He's going like, oh, you know, you got your baby force person, your baby force person. You're both little children. Let me bring you together so you like huddle together and, you know, and kind of seem like you have a connection. And I think that it in Rey's, it kind of backfires because Kylo actually turns out to actually kill Snoke.
Yeah.
But then Kylo is like, I want nothing to do with any of these people. Let me just dominate the world.
It was wild.
I want to be a different form of domination, which I think that there is a form of that is going to come from the good side, a form of of rulership that Rey, I think, is going to bring forth that is apart from one side or another. Mm-hmm. That's more of saying, okay, we're going to change how we do this. We're going to change how we run things. Mm. There's no more Senate. No Senate. Senate is dead. It's gone. And this is how we're going to
Well, it got blown up.
They got blown up, right. And this is how we're going to do things moving. I think that Kylo's initial response of like, let's run off, let's do this, I think is he's not going to join the dark side. He's not even saying dark side. Mm. He's not even saying that. He's just saying he's got anger, he's got hate, and he's going to whatever place, whatever side makes him express that rage. He's angry.
Yeah.
And he hates Luke so much.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Luke betrayed him.
Yeah.
So, it's such a hard thing to process. Like, shouldn't Luke be apologizing? Hey, kid, I'm sorry for... I mean, did he even say, I'm sorry for murdering, trying to murder you?
No.
You
know?
I'm sorry for thinking, you know? So it's like, okay, like, there's clearly something wrong with how the Jedi process it. And even Luke, in trying to destroy it, there's a lot of things that are wrong about that. So he's hurt, and then Rey is kind of in that same... I'm not neither one. So their connection seems like, oh, you know, seems there. But I think there's some massive fundamental differences. It's no longer like, come back to the light side. It's more of, who are you as a person?
Yeah.
And Kylo is terrible as a person. And he is terrible. The stuff that he's doing.
He's trying his best. He has conflict in him, Shalom.
He
has conflict in
him. Even after he's free of Snoke, he still wants to murder his uncle, his mom. He wants to, like, still kill people.
You always relate. You, like, relate to Darth Vader, but you don't relate to Kylo at all.
I do not relate to him at all.
I don't get that.
Like, Kylo for me...
He's just a younger version of Darth Vader.
I think that Vader had no conflict because I think...
He did have conflict at the end, though.
Okay, let me rephrase this. Okay, Vader has conflict, but Vader loves his family. Vader doesn't take too long to switch. You know, he sees his son getting tormented, and that makes him snap back, you know? And he goes like, flip, you're tormenting my... my son, I'm gonna throw you over the thing. This might not really kill you, but I'm gonna throw you over. but then Kylo murders his father. He actually goes like, I wanna be so dark, I wanna he murders him. And so he's crossed a certain line that Vader actually never crossed that line.
Anakin killed children.
No, he killed children, but I'm just saying the emotional connection, the big test, what they call the big test, if you notice in this movie, even with Vader, it was how do you handle your own family? How do you handle someone that you love, someone that you actually care about? How do you handle that? Yes, there's almost this point of no return. I mean, Kylo kills children as well, but there's this point of no return when it comes to
Wait, when did Kylo kill children?
He killed children at the temple. Luke's temple.
Kylo?
Yeah. So Luke says that he killed some of the students. Some of the students, and I'm assuming that they were young. He's young. He's a kid. Mm. You know, so, and he killed some and walked away with some. So it's it's the line, I think, is when Vader saw his family being tormented. There was a line. He saw a line. He saw, wow, I cannot be this. This is bad. This is wrong. But Kylo crosses that line, you know, easily. Mm-hmm. He crosses it. And even he sees his mom. He sees
Yeah, but he's clearly conflicted.
He's
conflicted though.
Yeah,
he's conflicted with that one.
Which is why I think
also
that
does he know that she has enough force power that she's able to save herself?
Yeah, and what is the thing that's gonna bring him back? You know, that's my
Yoda.
You know, for Vader, it took his son.
Baby Yoda.
His baby Yoda. But it's what's gonna bring him back to saying, I want to be good. Well, what is that? What is you he's crossed lines that Vader couldn't cross that line. Mm. He's done worse than Vader in a sense, in terms of how he is thinking, in terms of how Vader thinks. So what I don't know. Is he going to fall in love with Rey, you know, in 3 hours and
that
be like, I love
happen.
Her so much. I can't cross this. I think that's where I'm a little conflicted about him, about what they're gonna do with him. I can see the possibility of a certain redemption. I don't know. Maybe it's Luke apologizing. I think Luke needs to apologize. As a force ghost says, hey dude, I'm sorry, try to kill you. I should have done that. And maybe that becomes the thing that restores him, you know, because that seems to be where his scar is coming from.
Let
it's
me
coming
tell you
from
about the time
that betrayal.
Obi-Wan told me that my dad was killed by Darth Vader, only to find out later.
right. And so I think that's where I think there's so much. I'm conflicted about Kylo. I think it's too late. You know, I think I do think he was mistreated. Luke shouldn't have done what he did, but I think he's been so filled with rage that he's gone so far to the point where, you know, murdered his own father. How do you come back from that? How accept by self-sacrifice?
Shalom is Shalom's well, no redemption for you unless you sacrifice yourself.
I mean, look at the series of series and TV and movies where a character is kind of on the line.
If it wasn't a movie, would you say that about real life?
In real life?
Yeah.
I mean, we don't really have situation. I don't know anyone who's done the things that a lot of these characters have done. But I'll probably say that, you know, there is, that's why jails are there, someone who is a murderer, you know, you don't just send them to jail to beat them and just put them in a cell, and you know, there's a sacrifice of, you're no longer going to be part of society ever again. But we are hoping this process actually your heart, you're redeemed, you're, mm-hmm. you know, there's a way of moving on in seclusion from society, but we're actually here to rescue you. And I think that it's, you can almost look at that and be like, wow, like Kylo, you know, because how is he gonna go back? There's no society to go back to, you know, and it's like, hey, like,
he could go to jail,
might as well. He could go, yeah, I don't think they're gonna go down that route. I highly doubt that.
You're like the only option is self-sacrifice. I'm like, jail, also jail.
I highly doubt that, but yeah, true, it could go that way, Okay. But in a movie, there's no drama on that, there's no romance to that. You know, you want the fall into death? The fire. No. Like, save yourselves.
Okay. Sloan is wild. Do you think that if Rey had said yes to Kylo, like, rule the universe with me, that there would have been able to be some balance? Or do you think, like, it just wouldn't have worked?
It wouldn't have worked.
I don't think he's asking romantically. Do you think he's asking romantically?
No.
I don't think it's a romantic thing.
No, I mean, it's implied. You imply stuff like that, you know, where, you know, he kills Snoke for her, in a sense.
Yeah.
You know, and so there might be that edge of romance. And I think that the writers really dabbled with the whole concept of, like, a bad boy, because, you know in the movies, like, a girl meets this super bad boy, leather jacket. Then one day, like, they're sharing a hotel room. He walks out with his towel. He's coming out of the shower. And she's like, put on clothes.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. No.
That's kind of, like, what they're playing with. It's flirty. Mm-hmm. They're flirting with the idea. They, you know... So, you know, that's why some people are shipping the two of them. They're saying, oh, Kylo, and which I think I'm like, no, that's
not an approved message. That is not by the happy hipsters. That is,
we don't approve.
We do not approve that message. I'm sorry,
it's bad. It's not a good situation.
No, it's Kylo a bad needs situation.
Some massive self-discovery.
Yeah.
Somewhere else.
Somewhere else, away from Rey. It's not Rey's job to save him.
Yeah, it's like, not. Yeah.
No. She can be a very good friend. She can be helpful in the healing process.
Yeah.
But no.
Yeah.
Not romantically.
Yep.
No way.
Or they can have the, you know, Sherlock Holmes and his sister. Like, she was in jail. He would visit her playing the violin and hanging out. They could have that kind of situation, you know. Could arrange it. You know, that one prison in Mandalorian is pretty cool. Like,
yeah, it's
like,
pretty neat.
Yeah.
So what about the final fight with Luke?
Oh, Luke, come on now. Okay, does he ever, like, hit him until the very last moment? It's almost like, say, it was a trick. The whole thing is a trick.
The whole thing was a trick. It's not like
Luke is crazy powerful. He just projected himself.
It was so clever with the salt and how, like, it turns red as they're moving. And it's like, when you're paying attention, his, like, Luke's foot doesn't make any line. And it's like, what is happening right now?
Yeah. That was really impressive. It was really impressive to watch, like, to see. But he kisses Leia, like, so he can do certain things. It's almost like he can have a physical, you know, footprint on certain things, like, if he wants to.
Uh-huh.
But in this moment, he chooses just to make it, like, to be like, okay, I'm just gonna be, like, dodging, like, doing the whole, like, the Matrix move.
Oh, the Matrix moves.
The Matrix, and
I feel like
that was clever.
I feel like that's what they wanted Obi-Wan and Darth Vader to be able to do in their, like, first in A New Hope, like, when they have that terrible fight scene.
Yeah.
But apparently they're fighting so dainty because they were actually breaking the lightsabers.
Wow.
Like, what that, like, they have, like, that, like, plastic piece or something. Like, whatever they were using was breaking, so they kept breaking the sword. So that's why they're like, doo, doo, doo. Like, there's such little hits. Technology has come a long way. Technology
has come a very, very long way. And you can see a bit of, like, that Disney excellence showing through the trilogy, and it keeps getting better.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to see what they do in this, like, last movie. I think it's going to be amazing.
So my theme for this movie is actually a part that we never touched on. Mm-hmm. And surprise, surprise, it's a quote from Yoda, Force Ghost Yoda, my homeboy. It says, "The greatest teacher failure is." Classic Yoda with the deep insight. Gotta love him.
Oh my God.
So I just, oh my gosh. I just love this line. I love it so much. Because in that whole part, you know, Yoda's just talking to Luke about how it's your failure that allows your student to be better than you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's so interesting because I think often when I think sometimes you want to hide your lessons in yourself.
Yeah.
Instead of giving them to other people. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think a lot about like, you know, I'm an office manager for a small business. And it's like sometimes when I'm working on training people, it's like I don't want to bombard them with information, but I'm also like there's some lessons where I've failed where it's like there's a reason why I do things this way. There's a reason why I say things this way. There's a reason why. And it's like because I've failed before. Like I don't want you to fall in that same spot. But like I think sometimes you can kind of like fall into a trap of being like, oh, well, that's my style. Like, that's my style of customer service. Yeah. Like, I'll let them figure it out. You know what I mean? Like, as silly as that is. Not that I've really ever fallen into that, but it's like, you know, sometimes you have your human moments where you're just like, you're on the phone or you overhear a conversation that's not going super hot and you're like, ooh. But customer service is hard.
Yeah.
But back to like Yoda and all of that. I think that for Luke, I think he finds failure tragic. Like that's really hard for him. And because of that, he wants to hide it and he doesn't want to acknowledge it.
Yeah.
And since he doesn't want to acknowledge it, like he doesn't want to share his mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't want to share that. And it's like, again, we've kind of talked about this episode, but it's like, you know, with Obi-Wan, with Yoda, like not wanting to talk about certain topics, I think was their like failures. And in those ways, like their apprentices weren't able to grow farther than them.
Right.
Right. So I think that was really interesting.
Wow. That's really cool. Yeah, like, you know, with just tailing off that, you know, my theme was, you know, leadership and sort of like the soldier and the leader. You know, Leia says that to Poe and it's kind of like, yeah, I need you to be a leader. Like, I don't need you to be a soldier. And Poe in the end kind of has that whole like, let's live to fight another day type of like thing happening. And I think that, yeah, like there are people who are such good soldiers that they struggle to lead other people. They struggle to follow sometimes.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it's sometimes trying to find the balance between what makes you so special and also what makes you work together with others and help them along. Because, you know, you need both. You know, you can't sacrifice your ability to be special and to be different, you know, because we all are special and different. So you can't sacrifice that for this, you know, completely for the sake of, wow, I want to be part of a team, I want to lead well, I want to do this. And then, because if you lose what makes you special, then how can you really show people and be a good leader? You know, so it's kind of like you need both. And and so I thought that was a very interesting way of thinking. As there's so much like debate in terms of, oh my God, should we attack? Should we run? Should we do this? Should we, you know, there are all these good reasons, bad reasons, all these things that are like kind of, you know, being discussed as, you know, they are running away from the first order. They, you know, they actually, you realize that, wow, like it's actually one of the things where as personally you need to find a balance between the two and find a way to say, hey, when is a good time to be like, wow, I'm going to be hardcore, I'm going to be a leader, I'm going to go for it, and I'm just going to press on. And when is a good time to like, hey, I'm going to hang back a little bit and help everyone else along and make a decision that is like, actually is like, wow, I'm not, let's help each other move forward here together. Mm-hmm. Because you need both, you know, you need mm-hmm. both that spunk, that energy, and that care as well. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, something to think about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think one of the things that they kept, like, coming back to was, like, this idea of hope. And it's like,
yeah.
If you all have that Poe gung-ho attitude where, like,
mm-hmm.
they could all die, you know?
Yeah.
And even, like, when Rose goes to, like, yeah. save Finn at the end, she's yes. like, there's no point in you sacrificing yourself right now.
Yes.
Like, don't do that.
Yes.
Like, the reason why there's hope for us is because we have things that we love.
Yes.
And we need to protect that.
Yes.
And that's why we keep fighting, because we have the hope in the things that we love.
Yeah.
And I think that perspective changes things a lot. Mm. So that, like, again, people become less cannon fodder and they become more, like, they're less soldiery, even though it is a resistance that is that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it becomes about, like, the cause and what it's about.
Mm. That's good. That's really good. Yeah. All right. So we are going to wrap this up.
Yes, we are. There mm-hmm. are only two more episodes left in this series. Well, technically one is, and then one's a bonus because yeah. we love The Mandalorian so much.
So much, yes.
So next week on the 26th will be The Rise of Skywalker.
Yay!
So we're going to be talking about that. Make sure that you see it before the 26th or before you listen to the episode, because we will spoil it and you don't want that.
Yeah.
And then January 2nd, we will be having The Mandalorian episode.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm pretty excited for.
Yes, me too.
So that series, the last episode of that series premieres on the 27th mm-hmm. of December. So yeah. that'll be just in time. If you've been following through with that,
mm-hmm.
make sure you're all caught up by the time that our episode airs on January 2nd.
Whoop, whoop.
So then we are going to be taking a probably 3-week break,
yes.
maybe longer. I'm not sure if we're going to come back on January 30th or we're going to come back on February 6th.
Yeah.
It will be one of those days, but we are coming back with Harry Potter.
Leviosa.
Leviosa. Shalom likes practicing his spells often. He especially likes Lumos.
Lumos. But when I leave the lights on and Courtney's like, can you turn off the lights?
Lumos. That's a different spell, though.
Not. Oh, yeah, that's true.
That also, true. If I want the lights on, he says Lumos. So... I'm leaning towards calling it Potter Watch as a callback to the books because I think I'm thinking that. I don't know. I'm going to put a vote up, yeah. I think, to yes. see. But I'm leaning towards Potter Watch at yeah. the moment because I also think we could do a really fun, like, radio sounding theme song for it. So, like, you're tuning in to Potter
tuning
Watch.
And yes. Oh, my gosh. That was so much fun.
We are excited for that.
So awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us on this nerdy journey.
We'll see you next week.